Welcome to A View from the Bullens, in partnership with flatback4.co.uk, clothing inspired by the beautiful game, and fanscapes.co.uk, made by fans for fans.
Hello and welcome to another episode from A View from the Bullens, with me, Mick Kemp, Lee McLean, Carl McKenna, Ben Winstanley and Michael Ball. Guys, I don't even know where to start with this one. We're coming off the back of a 5-4 win after extra time against Spurs. I don't even know where to start, so I'm just going to throw Bally. I'm throwing you in at the deep end, mate.
Good luck, Bally.
Yeah, what were your thoughts?
Oh, my God. What a game for the neutral, but for the blue. Oh, it was just like a roller coaster, wasn't it? And yeah, look, we're through, but I think at the start, once again at Goodison, we started so slow and so sloppy. And, you know, you've seen the teams beforehand and you're thinking, you know, what's going to happen from the bench? And are we strong enough even at our starting 11? Jose is under pressure, Tottenham under pressure at this moment in time. They've been very negative. So I think the way they started shocked us a lot. And we just didn't know how to deal with it. You know, the first 6-7 minutes, it was just all Tottenham. You know, they could have had a couple of goals. But as the game went on, after, was it 20 minutes or so, we got into it again. Like, you're just thinking, you know, can we sort of get into the game? We got our goals and you're thinking, well, you know, it's nearly 3-1 before half-time. And once again, you know, Tottenham scored again, 3-2. And you know, they've done the homework on us. You know, our set pieces this season and the way we've defended set pieces, wide free kicks, has been a big talking point on the media from, you know, ex-players and ex-coaches. And it does baffle me as well that how we defend so deep and how we do half-zonal mark in certain areas. And it's worked for us and it's worked for me and it's worked for Keane. And I think teams have been trying to analyse us and thinking, how can we score? How can we take advantage of how we defend? And I think Spurs done that today. You know, I think we took advantage of them in the first game of the season. We found out how they didn't like set pieces from Amazon and we got the win. But, you know, what they did is obviously watched other teams in Newcastle where a player sort of starts on the goal line and drifts out. So he's unmarked and he's already on the move and it's very, very difficult. And the ball, if the ball's in to the box is a good ball, which Tottenham and Son was doing a lot today. You know, it is very difficult to mark and you're just really hoping for your goalkeeper to come out and just catch the ball and take the pressure off your back line. But because Tottenham, the cram in that area, it's so difficult for him to come out and claim the ball. It's the balls that are going in, goal side of Mina and Keane. It was only later on in the game where Keane started winning the headers that Tottenham's delivery was, you know, the wrong side and we were winning those headers. But as the game was going on, they were getting more and more corners and we just didn't have an answer to how to mark. And that's just all down to experience, really. You're looking for your experienced players. Have they come across this type before? It might be new to all the boys there. So it's when it does happen to you, you're looking to your manager, you're looking to your experienced players to go, come on, if this happens again, what's our answer to this? But yeah, it was, you know, going in 3-2, you know, we're just hoping that we could ride it out. And the question mark was, can we game manage? You know, can we sort of calm it all down and dictate the play and keep it, you know, keep it simple? Unfortunately, you know, we couldn't. The loss of DCL, you know, hopefully that doesn't look that too bad. You know, that he went off and you're thinking, how are we going to do this? Another set piece goes 3-3. And to be honest, I couldn't see us getting back into the game again. I just thought Tottenham were going to probably go on and win the game. But full credit to the boys. You know, it's up and down mentally as well as physically to get yourself back going. And, you know, we had a chance, Keane's header. You're thinking, could have made 4-3. You know, great play again. Keane's good header, but just straight to the goalkeeper. And then, well, Richie went down quite soft, didn't he? I think just before they're equalisers. But you always look across the park, don't you? You go, if that was against Salah or Mane, exactly, it probably would have been a pen. You know, but you don't want to win games like that. But it's just the way it happened that it could have been game over there. And then they've gone the other end and scored another goal. And then when Bernard come on, I said, I don't know who does the warm-ups, but Jesus, you know, it took him a while to get going. He gave the ball away so many times. And he's probably the worst player on the pitch when he scored the goal.
Yeah.
That was a great finish. You know, Ritchie's goals were fantastic. Made up for him. You know, he's got a...
Yeah.
He just doesn't look happy at all until he's winning. But he showed his passion at the end with his two arms up the air. He's made up with his contribution of today. He's working again with spot on. He's got his goals. So hopefully that kickstarts his season. And then just watching, you know, the extra time, the question mark was all over again. Can we sort of game manage it? And I think just fatigue was sort of settling in a little bit more. But, you know, full credit to the boys. Tom Davis, I thought as the game got further and further, he got stronger and stronger. Decore, has he gone past your house again today?
Oh, yeah.
Four times. you know, again, spot on. Sigson got his assist. So, look, with it, you know, I don't think we can watch many games of football like that. And we're going to the hospital to check our hearts. But, look, we're through. Big win for us. A massive game for Carlo, I thought. And when I did see the team, I was a bit concerned how we sort of weak we looked. And we can talk about the seven men on the bench another time. But at the end of the day, we only needed one, and it was Bernard who got the winner.
Mm-hmm. Carl, just looking at the game as a whole, we were quite threadbare at the start. We were concerned about missing the likes of James, Andre, Gomez, Alan, just to name a few. But ultimately, we're through. And that's all that matters in the FA Cup, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think the commentators have said today, like, the best game in the FA Cup we've ever seen for a long time. You know, still says that the cup's still alive, as they say. You know, some teams play weaker teams and look at the cup as in, like, you know, bigger picture after it. But today it showed, once again, how important the FA Cup is. It's a domestic cup for every club. You know, Tottenham are still waiting now again. 30 years they've been waiting to win that cup. 30 years. You know, that's a long time, Mick. So, you know, they'll be kicking themselves. They'd never come away with the win, obviously. Thought it could have swung both ways. As Bowley just dissected the game there, it was spot on with what he said. But, like the lads have said, Lee and Ben, you know, it's massive for them too as well to win a cup. I personally would like to win a cup as well, but I'd also like to be in Europe. So, I made up that Carlo done what he could today. You know, we have got a thin squad, haven't we, to say the least. I mean, I'd say the bench today was only really Bernard, who had probably many game time. That could change the game, even though he hasn't been playing much. You know, he come on and done a fantastic job by scoring a goal. But I think with the FA Cup for Everton, it's back to your question. You know, we do need to stay in this. And now, hopefully, you know, we can look to the quarterfinal draw tomorrow night and, you know, see where we're at then. Maybe there's not congestion of games. Maybe we're a bit fitter. You know, maybe you've got the players that you've just mentioned there, Mick, back playing regularly. And hopefully, mate, we can, you know, step on the gas a little bit more from the way get-go. Like I've been saying on most podcasts, you know, we do struggle with this. And make sure that we can see games a little bit less hard than that. So, like Bawley said, we don't all up in the hospital to get ECGs. Because, one thing that I did miss about that game, I'm not going to how you feel, but I'd love to be in there tonight, mate.
Wow. Oh, imagine Goodison now.
Tell you what, lads. Honestly, God, them games are the games that you're emotionally drained and physically drained, but you just walk out of it and you're like, you just give it
there'll
up.
There'll still
to
be
the
a full
nearest,
house
lad,
now, won't it?
You just give it up to the nearest person. You wouldn't even know them. You'd just be like, come on. You know, just imagine that feeling. And for me, that's what the FA Cup's all about. I think tonight at that stadium, we missed out on a good game. Although we are through, the players will have to enjoy it themselves without no fans. But I'm hoping, you know, that Spurs is on and quarterfinal, here we come.
Lee, we've touched on belief and mentality at the football club, especially since Carlo's arrived. When you look at the 11 players that finish that game, it's a far cry from our full strength team. So maybe the mentality and the belief is starting to change amongst the players, that they do believe together they can go on and do something special, which you've touched on in previous podcasts. Do you think they're going to start to believe now by getting these sort of results?
Well, first of all, Mick, obviously I've been cool, calm and collected all night. never been in doubt.
Did you make Carlo's coffee?
I did. but to answer your question, Mick, I mean, that that can't fail, but to give us belief. And this team just never looks beaten. You know, we all looked at that team before kickoff and thought, oh dear, especially when we saw Tottenham's starting 11, even without Harry Kane, it just looked full of quality and talent, and we just looked a little bit thin. And you just thought, didn't you, you know, if we're going to go out and then we'll get all our players fit and we'll kick on and we'll have a great end to the season and it'll ultimately lead to nothing. I'm just hoping, you know, we've managed to get through that now. The night where it looked like we were going to go out, there was a point in that first half before that those three mad goals happened where we could have been 3 or 4 nil down quite easily. But we've got through. I don't know. Don't ask me how. I've just listened to Borley give an expert, ex-player analysis of that game. And I'm just sitting here going, I haven't got a clue. But I've no idea how I've just watched the 120 minutes of that and Everton are through. But we are. And the character and the never say die attitude shown by the players on that pitch.
Great to watch that.
It's just unbelievable. And I want to, you know, and I have been his biggest critic, by the way, and I'm going to hold my hands up here. But Tom Davis tonight was just phenomenal. And for 120 minutes, he had energy, he had legs, he was clever. His use of the ball was much better. You know, he drew good fouls. I just thought he really stepped up again. And I am so pleased that he's proven me wrong, because I'd writ him off as an Everton player, and I'm going to sit here and hold my hands up and show a little bit of humility. But I'm so pleased to have been proven wrong, and I hope we can now call upon him as a really useful member of the squad, because he set the bar now, though, and that's the thing. He needs to keep that going and not drop below those levels. And I don't want it to be another false dawn like that City goal back in 2017. Let's see him really kick on now. But an unbelievable result. A mad game of football. Obviously, a neutral's going to enjoy watching it. For me, that was hell. I hated every single minute of that. I've been up and down the stairs more often than a Joe Wicks fitness DVD. I'm going to bed. But we're through. And I'm just praying now, you know, a kind draw tomorrow. And let's see where this takes us. That could be the one we look back on and go, it's our year. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Ben, mad game, crazy scoreline. If we look at the positives, and obviously we're through, but if we look at some of the positives, Richarlison looked like his old self, didn't he, tonight?
Oh, first of all, wow, what a game. I can't even, don't even know what to say, to be honest with you. I just don't know what I just witnessed, like the lads have just said. But no, Richarlison absolutely made up for him. That is the Richarlison that we've loved for the past few years. Direct, got the ball, and shoots. I love Richarlison when he's up front. I know he comes on as a left winger, and that's where he starts. But like, he's a goal scorer. He's so good in the box. And his finishes tonight were world class. They were unbelievable. That second one, he was almost in the Gladys Street when he took the shot. I couldn't believe how he got that in the back stick. And I think my neighbours must think I'm mad doing the pigeon in my living room. Twice. A few casual knocks on the door, funny looks. But no, I'm absolutely made up for him. It feels different. I don't know if you lads have thought the same.
It does,
the mentality, it feels different.
I agree.
The squad are blending. They're fighting for each other. They're putting the foot in. They're getting stuck in. When there's a decision, they're getting stuck into the referee. Richarlison getting into the referee going, you're going to stop the clock. Stop. We haven't seen that for years.
Yeah.
It's so good to see. Like, they're fighting for one another. They're fighting for the badge again. It's something we cried out for years, and I don't know what's changed. Well, I'll probably tell you, it's Ancelotti, isn't it? Yep. Getting stuck into them. He is changing the mentality around that football club. He is changing them into winners, and that's what we need. We need winners in that team. And we started off looking at that squad, and to be honest with you, I wrote them off early doors. I thought that first 11 is good. First 11 could be better, but we've got nothing off the bench. I thought we're going to be... They had the likes of Harry Kane, Harry Winks, England internationals coming off the bench when they needed. And I was going, we're going to... When they went 1-0 down, I thought, oh, that's it, lads. Early night, I think Lee was off to bed. It was all hell was breaking loose on the WhatsApp. But that's 7 minutes. It just... That's the 7 minutes I think Carlo wants over 90 minutes. It was fast. It was ferocious. It was... Spurs didn't know what was going on. I think Carlo said in the group, they're pressing like mad dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know if something clicked. They were pressing from the front. They were making Tottenham panic. And it was just so good to see. 3-1 up. All Everton fans like me were going, what has just happened? I was sat there in complete shock going, what have I just seen? Because 30 minutes in, I thought, we've got Noel. Spurs should have been 4-5 nil up. Some brilliant shot stopping from Robin Olsen again, keeping us in the game. The question regarding the corner kicks, forget that now. We're through. I'm not bothered. I'm not going to touch on any negatives now. 5-4, let's have it. so, honestly, Mick, it's great to see the lads. I'm over the moon here, as you can say. I'm ecstatic. I won't be able to get to bed till like 1-2 in the morning, but it's no, mate, absolutely superb. Hopefully Richarlison kicks on from this now and takes that into, obviously, against Fulham at the weekend, gets a few more goals under his belt. But it's a shame to see Calvert-Lewin going off. Hopefully he's all right for Saturday, Sunday. But I'm sure the likes of Josh King's licking his lips and get his chance up front. So, no, I'm made up, Mick. Brilliant result from the boys.
Bawley, without tempting fate here, you've been in the dressing rooms after big results, big cup results. What sort of effect can this have on a squad now going forward into the business end of the season?
It's massive personally for yourself as a player, but I think you can see by Carlo's reaction that he's seen it all before and he'll be explaining to the players, yeah, it's a big result, big win, and it's the emotion of the games is very draining and it can be very, very rewarding and it can be a sickener as well if you're on the wrong side of it. But with a manager, with Carlo, you know, speaking to him each and every day, it's all about belief and believing in what the manager is trying to implement each and every day in training. And as the guys were touching on, as we started putting the Spurs under the pressure, you know, the belief and the energy come back to us. And when you start having that belief, it rubs off all over the place. And winning big results and winning big games gives you that bigger belief to go on and go, look, we can have a game against anyone. You know, if we all click the way we know we can, we can give anybody a game, and it's just about consistency. So Carlo, that's why we brought Carlo to the football club. We don't want to get, you know, Everton fans, we do at times, we get too excited. They could be thinking, here we go, hopefully this is going to be our time. But Carlo will know how to react to situations like this. It's focusing on Fulham and proving the doubt is wrong again against Fulham. You know, come to Goodison Park against a sort of a weakened side, a sluggard side. We've struggled to get positive results. So it's all about the next game. But that belief, we've got it in our lockers now that we know we can sort of mentally look back and go, when we're struggling in games, they go, and go, maybe we're struggling against Tottenham, we're under pressure. We know what to do. We've got the answer to unlock the defences and believe in ourselves. So, yeah, you know, it's just great to have Carlo on board, and the players have just got to be a sponge and soak up every experience he passes down to them.
Carl, it does feel different, doesn't it? I know the guys have just touched on it, but in previous seasons and the previous regimes, when the scorelines go 3-3 or 3-2, or you feel, you know, you fear the worst, but there is that little bit of feeling now when it's a tight game with this Everton team. You do sense that they're not out of games, and you do feel they're going to dig in, they're going to bend a little bit, but they're not going to break. And this is just another game, just like the Man U game on the weekend, where they bended a little bit, but they didn't break. And you just feel now, the stars maybe starting to align?
When you think you've got to hang it out to dry, they rear you back in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's us at the moment, Mick, yeah, in a nutshell, mate. And you know what, as a fan, I mean, I'm laughing at you because I'm over the moon, but like, I was so nervous in the game. I think the nervous anxiety is coming out of my system now. Because I'm just like, wow. You know, that was, you know, we've had the United game 3-3 not long ago. You know, when we've got this game now and we've got Fulham on Sunday, you know, what's got to come next sort of thing. But, you know, I think the fact that, you know, we've all touched on it with Carlo in charge, you know, I think because he's so wise, isn't he? And he never looks under pressure and, you know, he still looks $1 million at his age. He obviously knows exactly what's coming, and he knows he trusts his players maybe more so now. And, you know, that fact that he's trusting the players is making us fans believe that whatever decisions Carlo makes, we all back him. You know, there was other times when we've had managers where they've made decisions and we've gone, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? With Ancelotti, we just go, you know what? We trust the decision. and the players do as well. So, yeah, I mean, when we're getting reeled around like that, like a yo-yo, it ain't going to be good. But I kind of like it, weirdly, because if I was in the ground now, I'd be excited for the game. You know, I'd be excited for Fulham, thinking, what's going to happen here on Sunday? You know, what are we going to do? We're not going to bow down to these. We're going to try and, like, get something out of it. But, you know, we could get peace as well, like we did against Newcastle. You know, so as a fan, I'm excited and also thinking, you know, we like you said, then we're bending, but we're not breaking. So have we got that steel enough to keep that going and that momentum going? And can we make that more solid the way we are winning games that we should be winning? And that's probably the only question I'm going to be asking myself probably near the end of the season or every other game, you know, game by game. What are we going to get here? Are we going to crumble again like we did against Newcastle? Or are we going to do it like United, where we're out of it, we're back in. Tottenham game, we're out of it, we're back in, we win. You know, it's, I mean, I don't know how you feel like, but I can't really put my finger on how Everton are going to play at the moment, but I do know that, like, something's going to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's coming. You know,
yeah, something's going to happen. You know, it's hard to say. The only thing that I can say is we're playing well, but, you know, there's a few things in our game that we probably do need to work on. And I think Bawley was spot on before with our defending. Yeah, we are so deep. I mean, Harry Kane shot with a free kick today, both 30 yards out. And I know why. Because we were that close to Olsen. If it would have deflected, it would have went in. They were, like, standing on the six-yard box. So I think, you know, moving forward, we've got that stability of Ancelotti in charge. We've got to trust what he's doing. You might have your opinions on some of the things he does, which we all do. But as an Everton team moving forward, mate, I don't see us bowing down to many teams. Even though we got beat by Newcastle 2-0, I think that was just a fluke, to be fair. We won't lose many games for the rest of the season. I can't see it anyway.
Oh, I'll hold you to that, Carl.
I honestly can't. I mean, not by long, big margins, do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, tonight was a 5-4 game, but it was a freak game. It's FA Cup tie, isn't it? You know, people are lethargic and people are falling a kip, and most of the defenders on both, most of the defenders on the two teams there were still in bed, weren't they? Let's have it right.
It wasn't a night for the defenders.
No, you know, the centre half should, like, scattergun approach, weren't they? When am I supposed to mark here? The lights anyway. Turn that light off there for us, mate. Can't see the ball. You know, it was sort of like one of them games where it was like, what time's it here? Like, for your knackers. So, moving forward, Mick, answer to your question. Yeah, I feel as though we are strong as a unit, as a team, and I'm excited.
Lee, I know you touched on Tom Davis, Lee, and I do want to just come back to him. The likes of Tom Davis and Gylfie Sigurdsson, including myself, and I think a lot of Evertonians, we'd almost written them off. You know, we kind of were thinking, you know, they've had their chances. But these sort of players are becoming massive, massive players for us going forward, because they're proving that we do have a little bit of depth, aren't they?
They are now, Mick, yeah. You know, especially of late in recent games, I think they've contributed certainly. That assist for Bernard from Sigurdsson today was just pure class, and he's capable of it. But he showed fight again. Tom Davis hopefully is turning his form around, and his last couple of performances is going to give him a lot of confidence. I hope he's reading social media tonight, because he's getting, you know, well deserved plaudits from everybody. So yeah, it just shows that when we lose the likes of Andre Gomes, Alan, James Rodriguez, you've arguably got three of your first choice midfield missing tonight, that these players can come in and certainly not let you down, and they can contribute. So it bodes well for the end of the season, because it's going to be a push now. You know, we're coming towards the last 3 months, and thankfully we're still in with a shot of both the FA Cup and a European finish. So it's going to be tough. There's going to be ups and downs. And I think every player is going to need to play the part, because fatigue is going to set in. You're going to probably get, you know, a couple of suspensions as well. But I just pray more than anything. I'm just absolutely desperate to come away from this season with the FA Cup. And that's all I feel I want to speak about, Mick. I mean, I think that's what causes the emotion in not just me, but everyone watching that game tonight. It's just, you know, please give us a bit of luck. Just get over the line in a game like this tonight and let's see where it takes us. Because if we can now get these players back, I'm going to say it, avoid Man City. And hopefully they go out. You know, I'd just love to see maybe City draw Leicester or someone and then get knocked out. And then really, then you're looking at it thinking, wow, there's an opportunity. Because whilst Man City is still in it, let's be honest, if you don't allow your heart to rule your head, it's going to be very, very difficult because they are just awesome on the day. But then again, is that doing a disservice to our team? Because I think you look at that tonight and against the really, really strong Tottenham side, not many would have fancied us there, depleted, and we've shown we've got character and fight in a one-off game. So, yeah, you know, going back to your question, Sigurdsson and Davis were outstanding tonight, but they weren't on their own. I thought Doucouré was absolutely immense again in the middle there. His energy and his legs, he just seems to never tire, like a Duracell battery in the middle there. And then I've touched upon Richarlison. We all have on this podcast in recent weeks when we've picked up on the fact that he's clearly looked down and frustrated. But I've commented a couple of times to say he's close, and it's going to take something, not much, to turn his form around. And hopefully tonight those two unbelievable finishes are going to really allow him to kick on. And if Calvert-Lewin is injured, which I pray he isn't because he's massive for us, then I think Ben mentioned it before, he may get an opportunity up front. And he always has looked as though he enjoys playing in that central striker position. So hopefully he'll kick on now. But just another positive evening, Mick, watching Everton. But I just hope it leads somewhere. I don't want to look back on this and think, yeah, it's a great result. Because I never take anything from that if it doesn't ultimately lead to something. I just want it to lead to something in May.
Ben, I will just touch on something that might be a little bit of a negative. We conceded 3 in the last game and we conceded 4 tonight. Is that a little bit of a concern?
If you're going to pick up a negative, that's probably the one to look at from both games. I still think we're unsure of what our best two central defenders are at the back. It's finding a way for, obviously, we all love Ben Godfrey as Evertonians. He's the epitomizer of what Everton's all about, the fight, the desire. He's got to play for me somewhere. But we've talked about it before, it's quite harsh to drop one of Keane and Mina who've been playing so well. And it's a really difficult question that, Mick. It would seem to be from set pieces today, and the set pieces against United, no, so be it being an awesome mistake against United, but I don't know if we're defending too deep. Have we been worked out defending too deep? Because I think all season, set pieces have been probably our strong point. Of David Ancelotti, what he's done on training. We're scoring from set pieces and we tend to defend them very, very well. Now, I felt like after Sanchez scored today, early doors, every corner, so be it, Son's balls were on the dot every single time. We looked all over the place. I don't know if they knew who to pick up, but I think like we went from zonal marking to man marking very quickly. It felt like Sigurdsson was just trying to grab hold of Sanchez just to stop him running, full stop, not even looking at the ball. So it's a difficult one. It's definitely something they're going to be picking up on training this week, the defence for it, definitely. So you look where the goals have come from. It all seems to be around the set pieces, and it's a hard one, that, Mick. It's a really difficult question to answer because I don't know, to be honest with you. It is a negative, but we're scoring goals. But like you said, we scored 3 at Old Trafford the other day, and you'd like to think we could have got away 3 points there, 3 points lost. And tonight we scored 5, but we made hard work of it. But do you know what? Forget it. Let's push on now to Fulham, get the win. But like Lee said, that Doucouré today, I've been his biggest prick. He's unbelievable. What a signing he's been. He's an absolute monster in that central midfield. Up and down all game again today. And he was my man of the match, closely followed by Tom Davis today. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. A superb performance from an Everton player in the central midfield. But Tom Davis as well, exceptional. Gets on the ball. He was passing forward. I think, like Borley said, he grew into that game. As others were tiring, he started to look quicker than everyone else. He was getting hold of the ball, playing forward passes. And it was just really, it's really refreshing to see around this Everton team. I completely agree. We need to stop conceding again. Let's pack this in because it's winding me up. It's put us into an early grave. Let's stop conceding and let's put, because we've been struggling to score, obviously, against some teams at home as well. So it was good to see different goal scorers get on the goals, the sheet tonight. So especially like Carlo with his Bovril when Bernard Slotter going, oh, I tried to sell him last month. He's made him look a bit of a fool. No wonder he didn't celebrate. He just enjoyed his tea or Bovril, whatever it was. But no, it's good to see this. Let's start pushing on more goals. A lot of onus we put on Calvert-Lewin over the past couple of months to obviously get us the goals. And it's nice to see other players chipping in, like Richarlison, your Bernard, your Sigurdsson. Like, I know Sigurdsson didn't perform particularly well in defence, but he was involved in four of the Everton's five goals. Mm.
I think he got man of the match.
He did on BT. Yeah, he got man of the match on BT.
So you look at his contributions going forward, and he's setting up and he's scoring goals, you know what I mean? That's what he's there to do. But in this 4-3-3 formation, he's actually got to defend also. So it's a hard one, but no, fair play to him tonight at the right end, getting stuck in, getting the goals and getting the assists. So again, I feel like I'm doing a layer straying away from your question. I'll go back to your question. So yeah, we definitely need to improve on conceding goals. that's a negative, Mick, and we'll go on a positive there and we'll try and cut out the goals for the weekend.
I appreciate everyone's head scrambled after that. I've got no qualms about that. Regarding set pieces and crosses, we are very, very deep, and on social media, people are questioning it. People are saying it started when Pickford was struggling, and it was the stop shots getting to Pickford. So that's why they were sitting in deep 6-7 yards out to try and block the shot, stop the crosses, that sort of thing. Do you think that could be the reason why we are so deep, just to stop the shots getting to the keeper?
Yeah, no, it all made sense. You know, I spotted it very early on when I was doing the echo columns, and it was alarming how deep we were. But I think the goals that we conceded when Carlo first came up, I think it was the mixture of Pickford, also probably the pace of Mina and Michael Keane are not the fastest. So, you know, it makes common sense of don't give space in behind. It's simple as that. So it's worked for us. It's been very successful for us so far this season. The last two or three games now, it's sort of, it's got one better than us. But the issue is, no matter who your back four is, your back five is, the amount of crosses in general play are hurting us, because that's what teams are picking up on. They're getting space in midfield. Because we're so deep, it's so difficult for our midfield players to get tight and put a lot of pressure on. We can do it in the final third, but in that middle of the pitch, when teams are all set up to play how they want their game plan, it is difficult for our midfielders to get tight and stop them turning. You look at the mistake by Mina. You know, everyone's going to blame Mina, but there's space there where, say, Tom Davis, I'm going to say negative, but he's let a midfielder turn and then he do a 1-2. If the back four is higher up, there's no space for that to even happen. So that is the sort of issue where you're being sort of strong in the back four. The middle area, there's a lot of space for teams to find gaps. And that's what's causing us issues. Where then when they find the space, they get it out wide. They either get the cross in and we're not defending the crosses. We're not stopping the crosses. And if we do, you know, over the last couple of games, we've give corners away, and you know, like today, your heart's in your mouth every time they Tottenham got a corner. But you know, that's been our issue probably the majority of the season, and Carlo understands that. And we've got big, key, influential midfielders missing. So when you've got a mixture of all them elements, you know, teams who have got their best midfielder, who's going to pick up on that and get the advantage of you?
Mm-hmm. Carl, looking ahead to Sunday, it's Fulham at home. It's a must-win game, isn't it, to keep the hunt for the top six on?
Yeah, it's massive, Mick. I mean, are you going to be asking me for predictions as well on this game? I don't think my head's got enough headspace in at the minute for that one. But yeah, it's a massive game, Mick. It's huge, you know. And how much of the energy has been took out of us tonight, we'll tell, won't it? Straight away from the word go on Sunday, I suppose. Oh, we've got an extra day rest, maybe. And, you know, it's a late kick-off Sunday night. I think it's 7 o'clock, is it, or something like that. So hopefully, you know, get the lads in, get them recovered. Hopefully DCL will be fit. You know, Alan possibly might be back in the team, back in the fold. I mean, he's absolutely massive. And I think Borley's just touched on it then, but, you know, in certain stage of the game today, I think he either cut that, then passes out and intercepted that, but that's for another day. But yeah, we've got to win the game on Sunday, Mick. And, you know, Ancelotti will be well aware of the two games in hand as well. I mean, I know it's City and Aston Villa, but, you know, that's massive, isn't it? If we win on Sunday, you know, where are we at? You know what I mean? It's like, wow. You know, we're going to sit down and really focus on what our achievements are for the season. FA Cup quarter final, win on Sunday in a week, and then you've got City and Liverpool. Come on, let's go and win Sunday. Let's have it. Yeah, win Sunday, Mick.
Lee, it's a real turnaround, isn't it? We lost to Newcastle. We then go away to Leeds, get a really good win. We then go to United, get a very good point. And then we have Spurs, you know, in a topsy-turvy game. We go through, and now all of a sudden you start to think, we beat Fulham Sunday. It really sets us up for a really two huge games against City and them lot across the park. And you just think, you know what, win Sunday. There's almost no pressure then on those two games, is there?
Yeah. I mean, to Ben's point, I definitely don't deviate from questions before. I'm having Cocoa Pops with my breakfast in the morning. Yeah, massive. I remember a week ago when we were talking on this podcast about the massive week we had ahead with Leeds away, United away, and then Tottenham in the Cup. And, you know, to be sat here with 4 points and through to the next round, we couldn't have asked for any more than that. So it's been an unbelievable week. Really, really positive. Fulham at home on Sunday is one which we have talked at length about. It's the type of game where we've come unstuck. Hopefully we've learnt enough lessons by now to avoid that happening again. Fulham, no matter how well they're playing of late, just can't seem to buy a win, and I just hope we don't open the door for them. And, you know, we should be flying high into that game. I've just seen a clip there on Twitter, and you want to see the reaction in the changing room after the game, and you know, it looks unbelievable. The lads are clearly buzzing, and rightly so. Mm. So you'd like to think that they're going to go into Sunday with, you know, a real sense of belief and confidence, and hopefully we can take the game to Fulham, and, you know, and hopefully it's a bit more boring than that, don't get me wrong, and I'd take a nice standard 2-0 win would be just lovely. But if we can do that, then we're going to be in a as you say, Mick, we're going to be in a healthy position in the league ahead of a couple of huge games which don't really need much more elaborating on. If you can't get up for them ones, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. But I think this Everton side can, and the sky really is the limit, and especially when we get all our players back, because don't forget, we're doing all this week on week with players out. So, you know, if we can get this squad back, pieced back together, then, you know, you'd like to think that it's going to be a positive end of the season. I certainly hope so.
Ben, tired legs may play a factor on Sunday, but with Andre Gomez, James Rodriguez, Alan, Josh King to come back into the fold, you feel like go get the game winning 60 minutes, don't you? Then take the players off and then look ahead.
Just
for
put
a big
the
week.
Corey out in the zone.
Rest him.
No, like I said, 120 minutes on the out legs. It must be difficult. How long? 4 days got recovery. It must be quite difficult to play two games in a week. But like I said, we've got players coming back now. I think Alan's touch and go, and he should be there or thereabouts. James, I think he said he wasn't there tonight. He'd be fifth for Sunday. So these players can just slot in. Josh King, it just shows a bit more squad depth than we have in previous seasons. So it probably would be good to rotate the squad, get the players out, and then bring the other players off the bench. You played full 120 minutes tonight. So Fulham are quite an expansive team. They're quick, they're niggly little players, but like the Luckman knocking about, he'll be looking to try and make a statement. It is going to be a tough game, I think. They're in a bit of a scrap, Fulham, like Lee said, playing quite well, but can't seem to like get a win. Had some results against them. I remember Leicester away, I think they won 1-0 or 2-0 against Leicester, or 2-1. I think Luckman scored then, playing a good counter-attacking football. So we've got to be careful. We don't want Newcastle part two. I'm not going to big us up as much this time as it backfired last time. So I'm just hoping, like Lee said, nice solid 2-0 win. Good squad rotation. Let's get the job done. And that's another big week. Let's have a good podcast Sunday night. And let's push on for that week. Mm. It's going to be another big week. Do you know what? Let's go with City. Let's have them. We've got nothing to lose. And if we get a point or 3 points in the league, we can then hopefully gain confidence. If we get them in the FA Cup, let's put them to bed there as well. Do you know what? Let's have it. I'm psyched. I'm ready for it. push on this year. Carlo's got me believing again. And I don't think he's going to let me down. He's here for the long run. And my mentality as a fan is changing as well. So it's all looking very good, Mick. Let's push on for Sunday, get the win, and let's really, really go on it, and let's get the win.
Guys, it's that time again. It's prediction time. Fulham at home on Sunday. Bowley, we're going to start with you.
Just as the lads said, I want a perfect performance. I want a game management, a 2-0 win.
Carl?
4-3 Everton. I'm being serious.
Yeah, you can have that 4-3. Lee?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 and I'll be celebrating with a nice cup of blowing on me cup of coffee.
Lovely. And Ben?
3-1 Everton win.
Okay, and I'm going to go 2-1 Everton. Five home wins, shall I say. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us as always. We will be back Sunday with all the fallout and the talk after the hopeful home win against Fulham. In the meantime, enjoy the victory. We're through to the quarterfinals and it's happy days. Take care and stay safe. Thank you.
You've been listening to A View from the Bullens. Brought to you in partnership with flatback4.co.uk, clothing inspired by the beautiful game, and fanscapes.co.uk, made by fans for fans.